Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
This is the Fakeologist speaking. It is Monday, May the 10th, 2021. I'm here in the live stream with a new member. Go find the others from Kansas. Hello.
Good day.
Oh, hold on a sec. Break time already. Hold on. Or you could leave the mask behind. You really
don't need to cover your face with a diaper all the freaking time. You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com. You can act like your mask will save the whole world,
leaving common sense behind. Yay! Yeah. How did you find Fakeologist? What should I call you? Go find the others, or do you have a shorter name?
Yeah, Jake's fine. Go find the others. It doesn't matter.
I did a radio show in Kansas City for about 12 years under my real name, so I'm not too concerned with anonymity. But, just hanging around the alternative media crowd. I've seen you. I've heard you on IPS, I think, was the first place. Or John LeBond, one of those two.
Yeah. Yeah, I think IPS has a pretty good exposure for me. Yeah, for sure. He's a good guy. I have mostly great things to say about IPS. Very in tune with what's going on.
Yes.
So you found us through there, and you've been doing this for a while.
Quite a while.
You're looking 12 years. Wow, so you had your own radio show, so you got some radio chops.
I did. From 2005 to 2017, the show still exists. It was a three-man effort. Life got in the way, and some day jobs changed, and my ability, it was an overnight show, to stay up all night, kind of fell by the wayside after 12 years, but yeah, we're still in contact.
Yeah, that's got to be hard. Radio, there's no money in radio, is there anymore? There can't be.
No.
It's dead. It's over.
Nope. Rush soaked up the last of the radio dollars, and I believe he was paid more than all of the advertisements coming in combined, so go figure that one.
Yeah, but if there was no Rush, there would probably have been no radio dollars. Sometimes people create the market.
Oh, for sure. And he was a tricky one, too, because I've done a couple cross-country trips, and I used to, pre-internet and streaming everything days. I'd love to just hit scan on the AM side and see what you could, hear in other parts of the country. And there are huge swaths of the Midwest that Rush is your only choice for a lot of places. So his numbers seem to be inflated because it's like that or nothing. People would tune in. But
if there was no Rush, there would probably be nothing. That's my point. I'm not a big Rush fan. Like, he created his own market, because I would say that the radio market's completely dead, and now he's dead. So now you'll really see it go dead.
Correct.
Yeah, I think. And now it's a fragmented market, and it's as decentralized as you can get. Let me say hi to Linda Curtis and Richard. I'll be a good host because I'm not going to hog all the airwaves. And guys, you can say hi to Jake, the newest member of the Fakeologist audio server.
Hey, Jake. Linda here.
Hello.
Yeah,
how
we've met
you
before.
Jake, it's Richard. Go find the others. Where's that come from?
Once upon a time, Timothy Leary was asked, what do you do when you tune in, turn on, and drop out? He said, find the others. But I added the go there because it seems to be a lack of action out here. A lot of people love to dissect psyops in the news media and all of that, the esotericism, but there's very little action. So I threw the go in there. It's also the name of my website, gofindtheothers.com, but it's a Timothy Leary quote at its inception.
Mm.
Oh, I guess. Isn't
I like it too.
It's sort of what your mother or father might have said if they wanted you to go somewhere else. Go find the others.
Right. And after about a decade
go find
of,
your friends.
I'm trying to proselytize and do the conversion thing. It was apparent that, you know, you're not going to wake anybody up with a bullhorn.
So,
it's kind of more like I prefer to spend my time with the others who get it already than, you know, trying to convert the unconverted.
Oh, yeah.
You found a mate, so you found the others. We are the others.
Yeah. Welcome. Glad I found you.
Yeah, you're totally right. That's the total right thing to say, Richard. You're right.
Glad to hear, mate. Welcome. And hi, App and Highlander. Just follow me.
Yeah, well, what we do, Go Find the Others, is I try and encourage people to come into the live stream because there are others that will listen to the live stream. We have an always-on radio station. So when you're in the live stream here, you're broadcasting on my Icecast server around the world, and there are people that just leave it on and wait for someone to start talking. So that's the nature of this broadcast, and I record it as well, and my server will cut out the silence. So if there's any gaps of silence, it'll just cut it out automatically, and it'll be compressed into an audio that can be big or small.
Nice. I knew you had a slot at the Dark Matter media thing, but I was unaware of that. But you know, I'm okay with any of this being broadcast.
Yeah. Well, I have two channels, the Fakeologist Show and the Audio Chat Show. They're two different streams, two different RSS feeds, and two different ideas. And they both have fakeology in mind, which is the study of media fakery and psyops, just what you said. And how long have you been aware of the manipulation of the public by psyopery?
I have a 21-year-old that's not vaccinated. So in 1999, I was the only anti-vaxxer I knew. And I know that even that has its trouble, but I've been aware of the fuckery most of my life. Full-blown auto-hoaxing has only been the last 5 years or so, but I don't know if you've ever heard of Visigoth or Visigoth Raw. He was an old-timey
I did a show
with Visigoth once where I came to the conclusion JFK did not die and was the lead conspirator. That was...
Oh, I love it. I love it.
2010.
Visigoth is Keith, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. I like his stuff. I like his stuff. I never heard him say that, though, about JFK. I rarely found anyone that believes the whole JFK is a hoax. Very few people.
He did not say that. He let me say that on his show, though. He interviewed me, and it was a JFK anniversary show. And
I'd love to hear that. Do you have a copy of that?
I do.
Oh, can you shoot it to me? I'd love to listen to that, because I like Keith as a host.
Yeah,
I think he was a bit of a gatekeeper, but maybe he just didn't know. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't know.
Yeah.
So you got a copy of that show? I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. I think, he was leaving the gatekeepers. Let's put it that way.
You think he was a gatekeeper? Or sorry, I missed that. What is he?
No, sorry. I think he believed the gatekeepers.
Okay. But he wasn't deliberately gatekeeping himself.
I never got that impression, and we had several conversations not being recorded.
Okay, that's cool.
Pretty sure he was a genuine guy. A little too much Jesus in his life, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, that's fine. I find the people that are religious are more awake in general, or maybe that's a stereotype. I don't know. Probably a bad generalization.
I found the link. It was in November 21st of 2011 when I did a show.
Grab it here real quick. Yep. If you could put it in the live stream show notes, and there's a text channel called, what is it called? Live stream notes or live notes? Live stream notes. Live stream notes. Just plop it in there and I'm going to listen.
Yep, it's plopped.
So what is your take on JFK? So what is your bottom line? How'd they do it and all that?
That show I did in 2011, and this has been 10 years later, so I'm trying to think of my mindset then, but I basically got to the point where Grassy Knoll the limo driver, Jackie with a Derringer, the storm drain, the school book depository. Like, everything was about 70%, you know, possible, and 30%, who knows. I'm like, what are the odds that the only thing all of these different theories had in common was that you couldn't prove them? And, like, to the same degree, there was, it just seemed like the Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Like, the whole thing seemed to be put you out in the fields running around chasing something that wasn't there.
Yeah.
You don't look at all of his, I figured out he wasn't a good guy, because so much of the truth or lore, you know, he was fighting the banksters. Well, he wasn't. He actually, that executive order 11101, whatever it was, you know, they did issue some silver certificates, and it was a boon to the silver magnates, and then it cut off any chance to precious metal-backed currency after that, and it gave the president of the Federal Reserve the authority to make those decisions henceforth, and not even the president or the executive branch. But the more the Cuban Missile Crisis was clearly a shit show. He yapped about Vietnam, but never got us out of it. He started NASA, you know, all of that fuckery. Just the more I dug into all the reasons why he was on our side, and they killed him because of, you know, X, Y, and Z. Well, all those X, Y, and Zs turned out to be bullshit. He was a New World Order puppet. That was about the time I realized, you know, because I was a Ron Paul revolution type, you know, for the longest. And then I was like, oh, wait, this whole thing's fuckery. So there's no way JFK, you know, got past all these filters and trucks. So I just slowly deduced the whole thing was fuckery. And then when you look at the Zapruder film itself, there's so many edits and cuts. It's probably a couple takes. You know, when they turn off the busy street and down the side street, there's only a few, you know, quote-unquote witnesses that all mysteriously died. In one shot, you can see other cameramen, like, feet away from it, but that footage has never surfaced. And I was like, oh, this whole thing was just filmed from multiple angles in a couple tries, released 14 years later with some old school cutting and pasting in it. And, you know, so the Bruder film was crap. JFK was a monster. Then I was like, wow. So, oh, you know, the one that did it for me was those handles on the trunk of the limo. There is some footage where you can see the guards, the Secret Service that were supposed to ride there, because the top was down in lower speed than in a city environment. You've got to have guards on the back. When they were shooed off of the car, JFK noticed that they were shooed off of the car. And so, that was the proof to me that he was in on it. He knew, you know, something was about to go down. No president in their right mind worried about security would have been okay with that. And I was like, oh, he was in on it. You know, to what degree, you could never prove it. But
the Zapruder film, there's no proof, and it's unlikely that it was filmed the day of anyway. They had 14 years to fabricate that if they didn't do it even before. So, but there's just no proof they would have even filmed it live at that time. That's probably, and there would be no one who could counter that either. So they could have done that in Hollyweird as well. No.
Yep. If you go back and listen to his famous speech, he's not talking to us.
Secret Society.
Yes, he's talking to them. I mean,
that speech, you got to listen to that in context.
Yeah. Yes.
Listen to the whole speech, and it's out of context. He was just telling the media that they have to. I can't remember. I just listened to it the other day. That Secret Society part is out of context, but in context, yeah, you're right. He's not talking to the people. He's talking to the newspaper guys.
Yeah, and it was almost duplicitous in its design. You could read it both ways, kind of like in Morals and Dogma. Albert Pike says, you know, where the telescope ends, the microscope begins. Now who has the grander view? It's one of those, depending on if you're a plebe looking up, like a telescope, it has one meaning, and if you're an elite looking down with a microscope, it has another meaning. And it was perfectly constructed to sound very informational, yet tell you nothing, because you can fill in communism or the Jews or the Jesuit. Pick your bad guy, and it fits. So, I mean, it was beautifully constructed to say a whole lot of nothing and, you know, be fuel for this and that. Yeah, it was, that was another one. And I was like, wait a minute, this dude is not on there.
Yeah, but may I ask,
really are, I was just going to compliment. I just wanted to compliment him. You really sound like you know what you're talking about. It's really good to have someone like you here talking like that, because, that's a great – that is a fantastic analogy, the telescope microscope. That's amazing. I love that.
I just wanted to ask you, so the telescope, the microscope, so looking at these Zapruder film, what's your conclusion from the Zapruder film?
Yeah, that it was done in multiple takes. It was heavily edited. It's not proof of anything. And if you, whatever that spinal disease they claimed him to have, and you know, there's, when you look at his clothing post autopsy or whatever, there's that back brace for, was it not Bell's palsy, but it's something like that. Ball's disease or something. Anyway, that would be perfect apparatus to rig up some squibs to have your quote unquote brains blown out.
I mean, is it fake or not?
I do not believe JFK was shot in the head, no. I think it was all movie magic.
Okay, right. Thank you.
Not only was it fake, that was I would say that was a Jim Henson puppet they had. That's the best they could do.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know if that was my phone that cut out or fakeologist that cut out, but the back brace for his spinal disease that I'm referring to, like the theory, and I think Henry Mackow promoted it pretty heavily, that Jackie with a derringer up under his chin delivered the final blow, because you could see the blood and debris, you know, basically shoot straight up. But I don't know, it looks more to me like the squibs were just placed to blow up, and there was no derringer under his chin.
I think if you've been over, September Clues info?
Yeah, 9/11 was my second favorite topic.
Go ahead with your 9/11 story, unless Abs already asked you that.
Oh, no. My take is that, I've been a no-plane guy kind of since the beginning. A lot of people coming around to these topics later in the game aren't aware. Like, Loose Change, Final Cut is called the Final Cut because there were earlier versions of which the no planes topic was brought up real early in the game because it did look CGI and the planes were glitching out. You know, and the consensus in the 9/11 truth is you'll never wake anybody up with CGI planes. We got to just stick to the demo. So a lot of these people did refine their documentaries, etc. But I've been a no plane guy almost from the very beginning. I think they used a combination of demolition techniques, oscillating frequencies, thermite, shape charges, etc. That way you could never, because, you know, 9/11 broke into the thermite crowd, the Judy Wood crowd, the mini nuke crowd. I've had somebody explain the baluster, you know, where they just lowered the building underground. I'm not sure I buy that one, but I think it was no planes, a fireworks show, and a multitude of demolition techniques in the ultimate tactic.
So, Jake, whereabouts were you, and how old were you when 9/11 was going on? Where are you from, mate? I'm from Manchester, UK, mate.
Okay, very good. I'm in Kansas City, basically. I live in Lawrence, which is, you know, a small college town outside of Kansas City, but I'm right in the Midwest.
Okay, so
77, so I would have been 24-ish in 2001.
And what did you think that day when you saw it? So where were you? Were you working, or presumably?
No.
Or?
It was on a Tuesday. The Monday night before, the Kansas City Chiefs were playing a football game. There was a torrential downpour. I had actually fallen asleep with sports radio on because of the post-game show. And in the morning, Jason Whitlock, who was a local sports guy, he's now on Fox News and does other things, but Jason Whitlock, I woke up and I heard him say, "You're never going to hear this in radio again." He goes, "But if you can hear my voice, I want you to turn off the radio and go turn on the TV."
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Top Notch Energies from Florida, and you're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
The sports talk radio guy said something crazy was happening. Go turn on the TV. And like everybody else, I went and flipped on, you know, the first news station. You know, the first report I saw said 50 to 100,000 people are probably dead. I think, you know, one of the towers had already collapsed. You know, and just like everybody, I was swept up. By the end of that Tuesday, I was a blowback guy. Like, clearly, you know, we must have pissed somebody off over there finally. But no, then I went to work and we were discussing it. A gentleman named Russ, who I would not consider crazy or insane, said, you know, has shit all to do with Osama bin Laden. That's a controlled demolition. That day, I didn't believe the official story. It took me about a week before somebody I didn't consider crazy told me it was a controlled demolition.
That's quick. That's quick, mate. That's real quick, you know, because that's quicker than most, you know.
That's right.
So, but, well done. So at what point did you realize, how did you proceed from there? You mentioned about loose change before. So at what point did you realize a media factory was employed, perhaps?
Pretty quick. I mean, yeah, when you look at, because I'm, you know, one of my degrees is in information technology. So I was, you know, I had a hyper-threading Pentium processor with a cable modem. You know, that was pretty brand new stuff. And, you know, way back before Napster and all that, I was on Kazaa and LimeWire and all that stuff. And I just started searching everything 9/11-related, you know, conspiracy-related. I would download it, watch it, even if I didn't believe it, even if I didn't like them. Like, I also had VHS tapes of David Icke. So I wasn't like, you know, brand new to, oh my God, this is all bullshit, you know, type line of thinking. But yeah, it was pretty quick. I'd seen the first edition of Loose Change, I think, the day it came out. And then, you know, I just started collecting all this stuff and, you know, speaking my mind. And by 2005, just 4 short years later, you know, I was doing 5 hours of radio a week, talking about everything from the Federal Reserve to 9/11 to the possibility of shape-shifting lizards. But, you know, we all fall down rabbit holes that were didn't look like bullshit at first.
How do you feel about David Icke now, mate?
Oh, I, you know, as a former rugby guy, I feel for his knuckles because that looks very painful. But, you know, any good guardrail will hit you with 80% truth and try and throw you off with the other 20. So
yeah.
He has, you know, shaped my opinion in some ways and opened new lines of thought that I probably wouldn't have come across without his nudging. But overall, you know, he's clearly compromised somehow.
Yeah. He used to be a UK goalkeeper and now he's become a UK goalkeeper and then he became a gatekeeper.
There you go.
Which is, you know. It is what it is. Anyway, it's nice to have you on board, mate. So if others want to chime in, I'll shut up now.
Likewise.
Hey, Jake, you're very welcome, mate.
Thanks. Linda had posted something earlier about, you know, that girl on TikTok, you know, like, I don't care if you want a mask and take shots, I'm not, you know, taking part and whatever. And I've heard you guys here and there, but I never got a good Discord link, and it was on the FakoTube thing. Linda had posted, had the Discord link in there, and I hit it immediately, and now here we are.
Linda says she will bend your mind in seconds. she does it every night with me, and I can't sleep, you know. Never mind. So, yeah, it's nice to have a new voice, and especially one who's been involved in radio for such a long time. Hey, you might have to do a bumper for us, you know.
Oh, I could work a wave editor like nobody did.
Okay, so hi, I'm Jake. I'm from Kansas City, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Perfect.
When you're ready, mate. When you're ready.
Oh, hey, this is Jake from Kansas City. You are listening to Fakeologist on Fakeologist.com?
No. Close, but that's what I was like. Hey, I'm Jake from Kansas City. You listen to Fakeologist Radio on Fake. Sorry, let me. God, I'm getting it messed up now. Hey, I'm Jake. You listen to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Hey, this is Jake from Kansas City. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Beautiful. What do you think, Al? Is that all right? You passed the test. he knows his shit and he's still a good bumper. How about that?
Yeah, that's good. And by the way, all the other bumpers we recorded, unfortunately, they're buried in 14 hours of audio. So if anyone is listening to the old stuff, I need a few from the last show because it's hard to get through 14 hours to find a bumper. Some of these audios, Jake, turn into these massive audios, and I chopped the last one up into 4 3-hour parts. So there's a lot of gold in that.
It was a big one. But I think hopefully this one, you know, we can clip it, we can make it a short one, you can set this one. So who do you need the app? Do you need the packs? You need, Boogeyman? If you could provide a list, I could message them and then get them to record it, you know?
Yeah, well, there's Resma Jeff, there's Pax, there's Boogeyman. I got to get them.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The three I can think of.
Okay. And well, hopefully.
Now we got to dig this one out with it from the first hour.
Okay.
That's a
good
idea.
Go on.
We should, when we hit silence, you know, sometimes we hit silence, we should everybody jump out of the audio stream and take a 10-minute break and then come back, and then that'll be your breaks.
No, the problem is the computer automatically chops out the silence. I would never find it.
No, but if we jumped out of the live stream and stayed out for like 10 minutes and then came back in, wouldn't chop it up?
No.
Make a break? No?
No, because that's silence.
No, but if we all got out and left.
Right. Hold on a minute. We've got a radio guy called Jake here tonight. How do we do this, mate? Tell us how to do it.
Find the timestamp.
Yeah, I timestamped a lot of stuff. Our longest show was 5 hours. We would just do 5-hour blocks, but we would do 2 hours intro. I made a podcast. They were called Suicide, so it was just like a media smorgasbord of all kinds of weird shit. We'd play for an hour, and then we'd take calls for the last two. So our setup was pretty easy, and I kind of it was easier to chop it up that way, but with this being my first bit around here, that would be difficult unless you want to like program a bot to listen and pick out keywords, which would be insane.
I think App has SpeakPipe, but no one can find it. I tried to guide Pax to SpeakPipe, but I couldn't find it, mate. So maybe if you want to post the link in the live stream, that might help. It's all gone quiet. Hello, Purple Play.
That was just my thought. I don't really know how all this works. It just seemed like when we stop, it stops. I thought when we jumped out of the light, everybody jumps out. I thought that automatically stopped everything, and it didn't start again until you jumped in. No. But I didn't know they pieced them all together just in the day.
What happens is it's an audio detector. It doesn't keep playing. It records when it hears stuff. It's an audio sniffer.
So when you, how do you know, that there's something there to take out? Like, is there someone?
There's nothing to take out. Silence is not recorded. It saves a ton of time the way I have it set up. So everything's mashed together. That's why you don't hear breaks.
So if we leave the live stream,
How do you break it up? Like, say when we're talking at noontime, say to 4 o'clock, and then it stops, and then when, say, you know, the next show doesn't come until, like, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning, those get smashed together?
That's right.
How did you used to break up, like, the Rick and Rollo show?
I have to find it. I have to find the break myself. I have to go find it, which is a nuisance because I don't know how long the show is on. I get lucky sometimes. I don't always break it perfectly, but as long as it's in the right ballpark, it's fine.
I don't want to add words to you, because I know you...
No, you don't. I won't accept it.
All right, okay. I'll show it then.
I don't accept more work. That's why I'm telling the community, if there anyone is listening to the last, I would say, 6 shows, find those timestamps for me. I used to have people do it all the time, but
all right.
People aren't listening, or I don't know.
I guess they're too long.
That's so long, you know. They're so long, especially with the chap on Saturday night, the new guy. You know, he was very talkative, and so it's difficult to find timestamps. But I can't. So, what about the speak pipe thing? Is that still working out? You say that's better for you?
Oh, that's the best way, but nobody uses it. So.
Right. Can you post a link to it? Because I'm damned if I could find it. I was looking on the blog the other day. It's not on the blog, though, is it? I bet it's somewhere else.
It's on the main blog. I'll post it.
Thank you.
Put it in the live stream. I'm going to pin it to the live stream show notes.
Okay, cool. So that way we can find, you know, if you can remember. So there's PAX. There's the chap on Saturday night. There's hopefully go find the others. You can, Jake, you can take it from this this stream.
Yeah. I run out of time doing all the work I do.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. I'm just trying to help you, that's all.
Yeah, that's fine.
Anyway, so Jake, tell us more, mate. Tell us more. So what do you think of this whole COVID malarkey?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
I didn't buy it from day one. Health was one of my first like forays into they're lying to us about everything. I eat once a day, 6 days a week. I haven't eaten the flesh of a face of animal in 25 years. So I don't get sick. I haven't believed the germ theory well before COVID-19 as well. I was never bothered. We're considered essential workers because I do commercial construction. So, yeah, I haven't missed a day where Missouri had no lockdowns. Mask mandates were only in, you know, big corporate stores. I was impressed with which the community, how they hammered that out all at the same time. Again, and, you know, the London bombings were really European. You know, a fill of, the European. And this hit everywhere all at the same time. And I was pretty impressed. I didn't think they were even coordinated, but.
I think it's awesome. I think the PSYOP has been incredible coordination.
Yep, and because I don't ever really shut up about any of this with friends or coworkers or whatever, and this has opened a lot of eyes without argument, you know, because it's pretty obvious that it has zero to do with the disease. And in the beginning, you know, a lot of coworkers were nervous, but a year in. So, I mean, I don't know anybody in real life, work friends that believe coronavirus is a novel worldwide pandemic. I don't know anybody that believes that. I do know a few people that took the vaccine to go along to get along. But, yeah, I don't know anybody in real life that thinks what they're saying on the news is actually what's happening.
That's great. Amazing. Where do you live? You're in Kansas? I think I have to move.
Yeah.
I live in the most indoctrinated area in the whole North America, for sure. It's just really bad here. Really bad.
My house is in Lawrence, and like I mentioned, it's a liberal hellhole. So I know these people do exist, but I've been at this so long, and, you know, I'm a bigger guy and not, you know, I'm with the radio show and the website. I've not ever shut up about it. And the Go Find the Others thing isn't just a Keith screen name. That's actually what I do. So I don't spend my time with normies
You've been converting people, or you just think they're just been afraid to speak up?
Both. Like the whole of my existence, I may have converted some people, but that's never my goal. It used to be, and I saw how futile that was. But now that my daughter, who's 21, who's not vaccinated, you know, because in 1999, you know, YouTube was 6 years away from being, you know, existing. So, like, I did not know anyone in real life that agreed with me. And, you know, my mom, friends, family, everybody gave me shit. Like, you're not going to feed your kid meat. You're not going to send them to preschool, and you're not going to vaccinate them. Like, I was persona non grata to a lot of people. And now that she's, 21 and never had a cavity and never had a cold and got a, you know, full ride athletic scholarship to college. You know, a lot of people never really apologize, but I think they kind of know I'm not full of shit. And, you know, it's been a 21-year experiment that turned out fantastically. And
her, wow.
You know, my whole goal was to make her a healthy, happy human. You know, if my boys weren't circumcised, like, I did everything different because I thought, you know, that was just the best way for them. And I was big enough and firm enough in my stance that I wasn't just going to let naysayers waver me off of it and, you know, go ahead and give them a vaccine. Now, when they got to be 14 years old, their wishes to go to public school did outweigh my insistence. And, you know, there was a lot of other factors, et cetera. But, you know, I did let them go to high school because I felt they were on a firm footing. You know, they're 9/11 truthers. They believe that the earth is not a globe. You know,
wow.
They're anti-vaxxers themselves.
Did you say they homeschooled them before high school?
Yes. Correct.
Oh, man. How lucky are your children, man? That's amazing. That's a real success story, honestly.
That rebellious age, you know, because, like, when we rebelled, you know, we had to do some anti-establishment shit. But for them to rebel, they had to do some establishment shit to kind of throw it
my Yeah, and that's so true.
The happiest day of my life was after the whole summer of bitching, like, I'm 14 now and all my friends. The first quarter of the first semester of my daughter's public school experiment, she came to me without prompt and said, I see why you're homeschooling us now.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's a beautiful, beautiful positive story, mate, which we need to hear in these a little bit dark days. So thank you for that. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, it was, I don't know if she would have ever got that if I would have really dug my heels in and said, no, you're never going to public school. She was, you know, kind of a track star, and she had won the AAU Nationals silver medal in judo and jiu-jitsu. So, you know, I think she could break an elbow and crush some balls if there were any sexual misconduct. You know, she was smart enough. You know, we had drilled over and over because, listen, it wasn't all peaches and candy. Like, I've successfully defeated CPS 14 times from wanting to come in and see why we're not vaccinating and why we're homeschooling.
What?
This is Matthew.
This is Maria Laquita.
Mark Manuel.
This is OBS.
Noise level. Polly Wilson.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Wow, you had
did someone report
14
you?
Times?
Yeah.
Wow.
My ex-wife had a friend who had a psycho boyfriend. Long story short, she was bartending. Her friend, the lady, and her boyfriend were at the bar drunk and arguing. The ex-wife tried to kind of, you know, intermediate the dispute and calm him down. The boyfriend took that as her taking sides, and because he knew we homeschooled and, you know, the kids weren't vaccinated, et cetera, called CPS, like, right then and there on Aubrey for, you know, intervening in their little fucking tit-tat. But, yeah, it was fun.
Appalling.
Yeah, the report he made was of homeschooling, and he thought that was abusive. He didn't say anything else. And so, yeah, they came over 14 times, and I was like, you're not coming in. We're not interviewing anybody. You can fuck off. And, you know, we're state mandated. Even if it's a false claim, we have to report. I know a claim of abuse, and I kept asking, is homeschooling illegal or abusive? They would never answer that, but we're mandated. We have to come in. And they're
mandated. There's that word again.
Oh my God.
That's not a law. Mandated is a strong suggestion.
Yeah, but I guess that CPS takes advice from drunks at a bar now. So, I mean, they've upped their standards apparently.
Yeah, that's they'll take their word over yours, right?
Yeah.
Well,
really,
I have to say, I did it opposite. I pulled my daughter out of school at sixth grade and homeschooled. older from sixth grade on. I have a quite healthy homeschool group, and I never heard of anybody being that CPS ever came to anybody's house.
Somebody has to make a complaint, though. That's the problem. You know, all these things that are happening where I live, where the public health is exceeding any mandate they could have ever had, it's all complaint driven. So
it's all from the people, yeah.
It's all complaint driven, exactly. Like, nobody comes to my street to give a ticket to a car that's parked overnight unless somebody calls. Because I asked them, who called? And they said, we can't tell you. But they don't go looking for it. They follow up reports. So if a neighbor says someone's parked in front of my house, even if it's his neighbor, they come and give a ticket. So it's the
same
with public
health. That's why I listen to the law guy, because they have to come forward and make a complaint. The guy who's giving you the ticket, or he's got no personal knowledge of that incident. So he can't even press charges against you, and definitely not.
They just give you a ticket. Well, that's all they can do.
Right,
give
you
a corporate...
can fight it. You can fight it.
Of course
make
you
a
can.
Statement.
But the problem is they confuse corporate
yes,
tickets
yes.
or bills with
you just
law,
gotta file paperwork.
The law.
There's
not
a
the
process.
Law.
There's a lot
just
of
you have to know your
a lot
right.
of, a lot it, of it, hearsay and we
is it,
we're
just misled. Isn't there a huge difference between the word mandate and mandatory?
Right.
And also
no, there's
you
not.
Know,
I say they're similar. I'm talking,
okay.
talking about laws. Laws.
Right. It's not
laws.
A law.
Okay. Okay. So.
Orders, orders. They're all.
Statutes. Acts.
All these, well, no, a statute and an act is a law.
They're
yeah.
not.
No, it's legal.
Is, you can shoot them down. You can, because
no,
I'm saying
still,
that's the
law,
same
though.
Process that you go through. You have to have
a person,
a live person making a claim against you.
Okay. Well, I'm just talking
that's
common
law.
Yeah, you're talking
right.
about common law?
It's different.
I'm just talking about they have two levels that they're working on now, right now. Because they're not passing any laws, they have one overarching law, it's the emergency order. That is a statute, that is a law. But everything in that, what I last read was everything in that emergency order must comply with our Constitution and Charter rights. So that's where they haven't been challenged, because they're getting away with things.
Yes,
no one
and your
them on that.
That's what
so,
your constitutional right is to have the person, or you have to, the only way you can be prosecuted is if you have done
no, I know.
Personal
you know,
harm to somebody.
I know, but the
trespass,
the
that's what trespass is. When
I know, but all, yeah, but all of the orders are under the Public Health Act. So they're only orders, they're shalls, they're mandates. Their suggestions, they all have exemptions, and the only penalty is a fine, which is really just a corporate policy based on the corporation that's giving you the fine. So they're not laws, but where they get you is if what happened to the guy in Alberta, they're taking it an extra level where they're saying if you disobey the order, now they're going to make a court order, which is a law, a criminal law, and if you disobey a court order, so all they've done is juiced it up a level to make it criminal, and then they tie you up in the court system, and then they bounce you around there for a long time and bankrupt you. See, that's where they're definitely overstepping their bounds. That's definitely lawfare, which is racketeering, it's illegal, but they're still doing it anyway. So that's what they're doing in Canada right now. They threw the pastor in jail, because he disobeyed a court order from a corrupt judge, and they did that with the restaurant guy in Toronto. They did another restaurant guy this week here in Alberta. So they've ramped it up. They've just juiced it up one level.
Yeah.
And
they are acting against legal fictions in acts and
right. There's a good Uncle Odd and Alphonse Fagiola video. It's hella long. It's like 3 hours, but he lays it all out. Like, great. It's, if I find it, I just finished listening to it yesterday, and it's, everybody's got to hear this.
But the main thing is they've now, to me, they've overstepped their bounds. Now they're in dangerous territory, and they're in tyrannical territory right now. And if what's true, what they did with the pastor, they leave him on the floor of the cell, which is concrete and a metal bed and a metal toilet without a lid, and they leave the light on. That's just torture.
That's just torture, man.
And he can get remedy from that, but you know, again, you gotta know what you're dealing with.
I sent the guy some money.
It's hard to use common law though, because they prefer to use the maritime law, acting against the legal fiction, which is the piece
well,
of
they
paper.
Well, they're just ignoring common law right now.
Exactly.
They're just ignoring it.
Yes.
And what are you going to do about it?
I know here in the United States on the CDC website, because somebody was posting on Facebook about how you could go about filing legal action if your employer mandated that you get a vaccine and you didn't want one, and they fired you. But under the CDC website, under those guidelines or whatever, they're not mandating vaccines.
But the CDC is a marketing agency for big money.
Let me finish, okay? They're not mandating vaccines. They're leaving it up to the employers, but then they're saying underneath that if employers are basically exempt because they can fire you for anything. So you really have no legal recourse. And if you're going for a job like I did recently, and they point blank asked me if I would take the vaccine, basically. And I said no. So.
Yeah.
I didn't get hired, but that's not being mandated. It's just on the employers themselves, and they can do whatever the hell they want, and you have no recourse.
It's almost like vaccinism, something like that.
But the CDC is a marketing agency for the government, for the...
No, I fully agree with that.
Board says that you must take a candy bar every time you go to work. It's the same thing. I don't even know why people can CDC with the government. Who cares what they say? It's
CDC is private also.
That are enforcing
CDC
it
is not government.
No.
It's different.
Right.
It's no more federal than Federal Express.
Yes.
But if you don't get a job because you won't get vaccinated or take an experimental biological injection, that's discrimination, and there are employment statutes that prevent discrimination. But the problem is they know that, you know, they know most people are not going to pursue that. Some guy, if you're trying to get a job and some guy says, you got to do this, this, and this, you're just going to say, forget it. I don't want to do that. And then
but if you're looking for a job, do you have money to go sue them to get the job? Probably not.
I think that's the whole point. So even if you have any kind of dispute with your employer, it's a question of whether you've got enough money to pay the lawyers.
Or even want to pursue it. Like, why would you want to fight an employer who's going to make you do this, this, and this, just so you have the privilege?
You don't fight them. You're going to get a payout from them.
No, I'm saying it's going to
make
them
pay
for a job. Like, basically, if they say... Like, it's hard enough. Like, working for a company and getting paid is barely enough to work for a company. So if they're going to make your life miserable before you even get there, they know you're not going to want to work there,
Just to interject and just go through the call. So we've got Boogie Man join us. We've obviously got the Fecologists. We've got our newest member, Go Find the Others, who is very knowledgeable and a lovely guy. We've also got Jan Eric and Linda Curtis, Purple Play, and myself.
I just posted that in the live stream, Uncle Vigilante.
All right.
And But the only thing I can say, which is making me feel a little bit hope, is that on the Telegram, on Alphonse's Telegram, there's a lot of people who are interested in doing this stuff. And that's the way, you know, hopefully maybe something can change. But there's a lot of people on here. There's constantly, I'm 1.12K messages that I got, and that's like daily. There's 3,900 members, and 600 of them are online at the same time. Everybody's trying to work this. There's offshoots. There's a California one. People are just jumping off, making their own groups. They want to get together, file paperwork against the counties, the states. You know, people are doing stuff based on, you know, so it's giving me a little bit of hope. And also, there's also this weekend there's going to be a lot of, I don't want to call them protests, but gatherings. People are going to be gathering on the 15th,
yeah.
The pushback. It's called the pushback, May 15th, all over the world. Anybody can get a group together and just go somewhere and stand for freedom and, you know, to get this.
Okay.
This
are
stuff,
you going? Are you going there? Purple
worldwide
Play?
Rally for freedom.
Are you going there, Purple Play?
I'm gonna try to find one. Yes, close to my home. There's
okay.
one in San Jose
okay.
that. And like you said, people are joining constantly on this
okay.
worldwide California. So.
Good. Do you feel activated?
Forwarding it to everyone I know. So yeah, and people, like you said, people are jumping on this. Like, there's a lot of people that are saying, "Wow,
cool.
where are people in my area? Is anybody close to me?" And yeah, we got to do something.
Oh yeah, fight or die.
Right. I mean, it's better to, you know, do something.
I think it's better to be a martyr than die any other way. You know.
Well, I don't think martyr, but I think we need to stand up and be counted. At least, you know, we know that voting is a sham. I mean, there's just so much people are waking up, and I.
Did you see the Donald Trump clip I posted on my Telegram?
No, what was that?
About vaccines, he was saying it was fantastic. At the,
yeah,
like
he's taking
the
credit.
He did a good job. And, yeah. Really?
So they can smack him down when the shit goes.
Yeah, but he's doing this voluntarily or they're pressuring him. I don't know, but anyways, it was on Fox News.
I don't want to hear anything more from Donald Trump.
Right. That's what I was going to say, too. It's like he's.
I don't care what he says.
He's not doing us any favors, for sure.
He's done. He's done.
No, he's. Well, he is done. He shouldn't even come back in 2024 just because of his age. I don't care how smart or fit you are. You should not be allowed to be president over 70. Not physically.
I would imagine 2024 would be the last election if there's even going to be one.
I was going to say,
we might have already had the last one.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think they did have the last one because
yeah,
the last inauguration was
yeah.
super fake. If you looked at what they didn't, contrary to what they used to do, it was obviously not the real thing.
Yeah, the last one was to make you know that it doesn't matter.
Mm. Yep.
Yes.
Well, even the mainstream media is like the my friend who watches the Fox News station. She's always sending me stuff, and they're like ragging on Biden, like he's going to be done, and Kamala's coming in soon, and you know that whole thing. He's gone. They're already preparing for his exit.
Sure.
Yeah. They said that before he even got in. As soon as she was selected, they were talking like that. So they've conditioned us for a long time.
But not on the mainstream, not on the television
oh, yeah?
network news. They weren't. Now
oh,
they
okay.
are. So not that they're
it's
real
soft,
or truthful.
Yeah, it's like a slow going soft aggression
yeah.
to the masses, and they still won't wake up. The dumbasses.
Yeah,
I mean,
a
I don't know what to say.
Still don't know what's happening. They don't
I
understand.
Think
I think
look
it's
what is happening in DC too. And everything is shut down.
I think it's the boiling frog syndrome. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm. Well, actually, I did talk to one of my somewhat normie friends, and he still seems to think, you know, that the corona's a deadly disease. But we did talk a little bit about, you know, how all the small businesses are being eliminated. So at least he is understanding that, because he is a small business. He's a piano teacher. And so he can see that portion, you know, that's going down. But, you know, I think I scared him with all my corona. I mean, I just threw it all. Because he was all like saying, because I got upset because he was saying that we could still transmit the disease. And I said, so what? You know, it's like it's just a cold or something. He's like, no, it could kill you. And
shock and awe on him, Purple Play. How did?
Oh, I did. I was talking to him for like about a half an hour, and I finally just said, okay, I'm not going to say anymore, you know. But you know, I don't know if I got through or anything. So it was, we moved on, but it was.
Yeah, right. I'll tell you now, you didn't. Okay.
No.
Almost certainly. You know, people have got their minds made up about things.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But here's the fun part though, is that he came to my house. He said, I've had the vaccine, so we can hug now.
You said, no, you can't. You're contagious. Get out of here.
I know. That's what the deer told me I should have said.
Oh, yeah. You're shedding. Tell him you have to spray him with ivermectin.
What's that? Oh, no.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Well,
my new motto is that I don't hang out with vaxxers, so you can. It's like you're not welcome in my house if you believe. Yeah.
You're so racist.
It was a very long overdue hug because.
No, you're vaxxist. You're vaxxist.
Yes.
Vaxxist.
You're vaxxist.
She's vaxxist. 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 That's my new word.
Okay,
tonight.
We came
vaxxist.
Up with it at the same time then, because I just thought of it too. I'm a vaxxist.
No, I thought of it earlier, but never mind.
Oh, did
well,
you say
I
it
didn't
out loud?
Go into
it
all
out
the,
loud, it doesn't count.
The fear mongering of the vaccinated. So, I drew the line there.
So, let me just ask our new member if he wants to talk, maybe come on my show tonight. I'll go find the others. I do a show. I try and do it at 8:30. I can't make it tonight, but maybe tomorrow I could.
Sure. I'm Central Standard Time, so.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
I can't stay up like incredibly late, but yeah, 8:30.
No, I do.
Right.
No, I do. That's 7:30 your time.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, not a problem.
Okay, well, I'm going to hit you up then. I guess the best way to contact you is through a direct message here, or you can email me at ima@shakeologist.com. And, by the way, I just registered fakeologist.crypto, just in case the domain service goes for a dump. So hopefully that's more bulletproof than fakeologist.com.
How much is all this shit costing you, Ab? Are you okay for money? It seems like a lot of money.
So that was $30 for lifetime. That was worth it. $30.
Okay.
Bucks.
Okay.
Thank you. You can send a donation anyway. I don't care.
Well...
We're getting lots of nice donors. We got a lot of, if you go to fakeologist.com/donate, there's quite a few very kind people donating.
You've got a super nice donor for FakoTube. You know? Wow.
I know.
God almighty.
I know.
That's
I
like,
know.
Anyway, that was like 900 US or something. Wow.
$1,200.
That's a lot of money. $1,200 US, so 911. What was he saying? 911.
1191.19.
Rounded
up.
Yeah. Yeah. That
really anyway,
awesome.
That's super.
That's great. That's great. That's what do you call it? Social proof. So that,
that's just a
that
general
sounds
goal.
Like somebody's stimulus check.
I think this person's making money. There are people making money right now.
Yes.
Lots of them.
Contractors. Actually. Contractors.
Oh, yeah. Construction's going nuts.
Yeah, I'm in commercial construction, and last year was the best year of my life. Didn't miss a day of work, and kept right on rolling. Stuff got cheaper. Gas got down to a dollar just for people's, kind of advertising, marketing ploys. But, yeah, 2020 was great for me. Like, you know, worldwide PSYOP aside, everything else was booming.
I bet your commute was like zero, wasn't it? Like, you used to spend hours commuting, but now it's like, I'm not sure where your site is working at, but
there's no traffic in Kansas.
What's the petrol price in the UK now, Richard?
As far as I know, get this, 1.19 per litre. Yeah, the last I saw of it, you know, you couldn't make it up.
We're $1.30 a litre Canadian, which is about a dollar American per litre.
Wow.
Which is about $4 a gallon. That's about
$4
a gallon.
Norway, so here in Norway, it's almost two U.S. dollars a liter.
$2.
We're almost to $4.
Yeah.
Yeah, but a liter, you can add it up to a gallon. Crazy.
Yeah. Well, they pay about, California and Ontario are both the same, but it's all taxed anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say most of it's taxed.
Yeah, 90%, yeah. I think. 90%.
Norway's almost 70% tax.
Oh, okay.
But by all means, go back and find a job that's part-time, that has no benefits, and pay $4 a gallon to get there and don't make any money. So that's what they want us to do.
Well,
sad times.
Fuck him.
Yes,
fuck him.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
Thank you, Richard. I didn't want to say it, but...
But you felt it.
I willed it for you to say it. I sent it to you.
Through the ether. Anyway, so let's have a chat more with our newest member, Jake. Go find the others. So you've got, what's your family situation? So you've got a daughter, you've not vaccinated. How many kids have you got? And it sounds like you're coping well.
Yeah, there's four altogether, two boys and two girls, ages 22 down to 13. The two oldest are already up and out of the house. They're full-blown adults. We've got a senior in high school who will be, he's already 18, so he'll be up and gone here by the end of the summer. And then we've just got the 13-year-olds to deal with. But, yeah, they're all unvaccinated. Boys aren't circumcised. Their mom and I finally did divorce. But I've got this saying that marriage is my fourth favorite conspiracy theory. It's a forever promise by which you're willing to gamble at least 50% of everything you've ever made on said promise lasting for forever. We're excellent co-parents, but we started at 19 and 21, and, 14 years on, you know, we finally grew up and gave each other our freedom back. And I like when Trump kind of, because we got divorced in 2012, I've got this saying also, make divorce great again. Like, you know, you don't have to make each other miserable forever, and something ending does not equate to failure.
It equates to one door closing, another door opening. That's the way I try to look at it.
How did your children deal with it? Because they would have been pretty young. That meant your youngest would have been 4 years old.
Yeah, she didn't know a whole lot. We homeschooled one more year after we separated. And then with, to back up some, we were already out in the country growing 75% of our own food, homeschooling, already had another couple on the property. We were going to just do the intentional community right then and there.
but
oh me.
Yeah, the ex wife, that wasn't her life goal. So she didn't hate it or hold it against me. But it's weird. She trusted me. She didn't do the work herself. You know, and we were kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum. She liked wine, I liked weed. She was a marathon runner, I was a marathon reader, you know, which made us an excellent parenting combo. But, yeah, as the kids got older and part-time jobs and friends and, you know, sports, you know, when it was just me and her, it was kind of like, ugh, what are we going to do since we're not parents and we're, you know, kind of opposite centered?
Didn't it used to be like opposites attract,
Yeah, and I think, you know, it was super exciting at the beginning, you know, and again, we were babies ourselves. Like, I look at, my daughter will be 22 in July, you know, and we were married with our second kid on the way. Like, and then I look at my daughter and her friends, and I'm like, you guys are fucking retarded. And we were making, like, permanent lifelong decisions, you know, with the kind of the same set of parameters, but... You know, we grew up in severely dysfunctional, broken households, and, you know, kind of our goal was to make the best family ever. You know, and aside from that, we didn't have anything else in common by the time, you know, we were in our 30s. You know, it was...
Does that sound like a correction?
Yeah. Like, if I had to do it all over again, I would have done it the same way, you know, because I think we've also... You know, by example, taught the kids that making a whole fucking litter of kids before you're, you know, 25 is not necessarily a good idea, man. Like, it was a struggle. You know, we were not trust fund kids. We had no family backing. You know, there were plenty of months where it was like, you know, are we going for food or electricity this time? You know, it wasn't easy at all. But... Yeah, it was a correction. We definitely fucked up, you know, and we admitted it.
Good for you for trying, man. I give you full marks for trying.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, if you meet any one of my children and see the breadth and scope of their mindset, you know, a lot of it has to do with, you know, our craziness. And, you know, you don't get to be a no-planer in 2003 without being a little wild and rough around the edges in other categories. Like, I have this saying, because, like, in a lot of Discord, I've been around Discord for a while, and a lot of rooms break up into factions, and there's, you know, the flame-throwing and, like, the rage-quitting and all that. But, you know, I kind of noticed that only broken toys made it this far. Like, you got to have, I don't know very many well-balanced, good upbringing, stable, you know, that's the normies. My dad overdosed intravenous drug-wise, you know, when I was 12. Like, I've seen some gnarly shit at a young age, and I wouldn't take that back either. But my dad also, because he was so wild, he told me before the internet existed that the limo driver is the one that shot JFK. So, you know, I say...
Wow.
Our mistakes have made them better people. You know, I have three of them that are adults already, and none of them are, you know, pregnant or in anywhere near that. So, yeah, I think we set a good example by being bad examples in the areas we fucked up. You know, we were honest with them the whole time. When we were...
Your dad still alive?
No, my dad passed away when I was 12.
Oh. Because
of the drugs?
Yes. Actually, he was a low-level dealer, and I, from 12 to 19, thought it was just a classic overdose. But I got a bizarre message on my answering machine one time, back when they took tapes, and I didn't have caller ID. And it was some guy he was selling cocaine with wanted me to know, or my mom and my brother, all of us to know, that they were kind of stealing from the guy above them, and he spiked all their shit with some gnarly whatever.
to see who was stealing their shit. Like, you know, don't get high if you're on supply type deals. So, yeah, from 12 to 19, I thought it was an OD. At 19, one of his friends intimated it was kind of nefarious. But, you know, when you run your engine red line constantly, you're gonna blow the engine eventually. So, if it wasn't
when you run with the, when you run with the wolves. Yeah.
Yeah, but I also, you know, it comes with a great deal of gratitude. And, you know, looking back, like, most boys have to, like, eclipse their father or follow in their footsteps. So I had this beautiful blank slate. Like, as long as I didn't OD by the time I was 39, you know, like, I eclipsed him. So, and I didn't have weird religious shit or, you know, any of his baggage. Like, it was kind of freeing, you know, the nuttiness that goes along with that lifestyle stopped. You know,
good for you. There's a bit of echo going on. So if you can mute when you're not speaking, that'd be great. I'm just saying good for you. Really, really good for you. And also, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Krishnamurti, but there is a quote being well in a profoundly sick society is no indication of health. Yeah. So I think that's important to remember that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm on your website, gofindtheothers.com, and I'm going to download your episode 438. Why do you call it suicide? And what's that Roman number? I'm really lousy with C and D. Let me see. C and D.
To answer the first question first, Paragon Radio was the radio show I did, and it was 5 hours long. And to introduce topics like I like to discuss to an FM crowd back in 2005 was kind of difficult, and there were, like I mentioned, David Icke documentaries and all of Alex Jones stuff. The fascinating part about those were their highlighting of the stuff that was hidden in plain sight. So while I agree Alex Jones can be abrasive, and, you know, 16 years ago, he definitely didn't have the viewership, but his documentaries did have the George W. Bush speech about the New World Order on September 11, 2001. So any time I was, you know, something like the New World Order, and you would have callers, you know, naysay that immediately as it's a conspiracy theory. My original idea was just to cut all these clips out of these documentaries that were irrefutable. Like, New World Order conspiracy theory? Okay, here's George W. Bush saying it. Here's Henry Kissinger saying it. You know, and you could just play these very poignant parts and skip the Alex Jones bullhorn part. But the radio station was analog back then, and we had to burn shit on CDs. One day, I was listening to a bunch of these clips to make sure the CD played all the way through so I didn't get stuck with egg on my face. It kind of had a rhyme or reason to it. So then I would start adding some music and comedy. And when I was little, you could go to a fountain machine, a soda fountain, and when you mixed all the flavors together, it was called a suicide. Or like a Dairy Queen, you can get a Suicide Mr. Misty or a Suicide
Snowman. Oh, okay, I got
it. So a Suicide is just a mix of all the flavors. Sometimes there's multiple, and I did 438 of them. So, you know, there's some that are single topic, some that are multi-topic, some that are current events, some is, you know, like higher-minded philosophy, some straight comedy. I've done a couple just straight poetry. But
are they online?
What's that?
Are they all on your website? Oh, great. That sounds like great listening.
Podcraft, yes, because there's very little of me in it. Now, I've done podcasts where it's all me. I've been interviewed on a bunch of places, but, yeah, I call the Suicide Podcraft because they are crafted. Very little of me is in there. It's just kind of a smorgasbord or a media casserole, if you will, of, you know, what was going on that week. You know, if it was a 9/11, I've done a half a dozen 9/11 tributes specifically. Like, my Suicide number 100 was just, like, I took you through the whole fucking day. It was called Before the Spin Set In. So the NORAD people, the first reports, like, it's just 9/11 as it happened chronologically, and you can listen for yourself all the fuckery that's involved. So you don't have to hear my take on it. You could hear NORAD going, is this one real or is this one real? You know what I mean? It's like, so where's the conspiracy theory? This NORAD person may or may not be in on it, but they don't know if this plane is the real one or the drill one. So were they running drills that day? You know, it's, so, yeah.
Isn't that amazing that we can go all this time and never have heard of you, and I've been doing my show since 2012 on and off, and that's what I love about the internet, is you can just find people, and you sound like you're really with it. That's what I love about just leaving my beacon shining on the internet, and then hopefully we'll cross paths. So I think that's really powerful.
Sure, and that's what I did. And believe it or not, in 2017, the alternative cosmology topic really put a rift, because there were three of us that did the show. It was always a group effort, and I'll tell you right after the break.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
That's what I want. That's what I want.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, so 2017, you know, the alternative cosmology topics really threw a wrench in the show and the cohesiveness, because I was willing to explore it. You know, our co-hosts were, there's no way possible it's not a spinning oblate spheroid in the middle of an infinite vacuum. And yeah, it was fascinating to watch truthers I'd spent over a decade in the trenches with Rod Paul and in the Fed and all the Iraq war rallies we went to. Like, you know, it was bizarre watching them clam up, possibly question the fact that the Earth may not be a multi-directional spinning oblate pyramid. And right about the same time, you know, my first daughter graduated from high school. I got a couple promotions at work. I started making a shit ton of money. Alternative cosmology is really hard to discuss without visual aids. So like in a radio setting to discuss the Earth not being a globe, it's really bogged down and boring and frustrating, because you can't, you know, pull up a diagram of another possibility. So,
oh yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I didn't drop out of the scene completely, but after I quit the radio show, I stopped promoting myself, and, you know, I've made a few podcasts and podcasts since, for the show on specific topics like the coronavirus, and I've done a couple guest spots. Didn't have to work on a certain day so I could stay up all night, and we're still friends, believe it or not. But as far as, like, you know, hashing through the truth for 5 hours a night, you know, and they're just gonna shit on anything alternative cosmology, you know, it's
and you were broadcasting on FM radio,
100,000-watt blowtorch in a 2 million person, like, yeah, I could write a book on, like, the bizarre shit that happened to us at the radio show. I've had the NSA at my house. Like, I've been catfished by some really, really weird people. You know, that
What's
picture.
What's catfish
of,
mean?
Oh, people pretending to be somebody else online, you know, and then,
okay,
you know, for whatever. You can catfish if you're gay, or if you're, you know, a man pretending you're a woman, and, like,
okay,
it's just pretending to be somebody else on the internet. But yeah, just some really bizarre things happened. And yeah, we were, you know, Alex Jones had like a 50 watt AM station he would pay to get some play on, but there was nobody in Kansas City even coming close to broaching the topics we were. And we, yeah, I mean, we went at it, you know, but JFK was fake. We weren't full blown, like I said earlier.
Did you get any attention? Did you get any attention? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got the NSA to my house.
Yeah. But I never heard of you before, but that doesn't mean that you weren't making a wave in your area.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
we think of Art Bell, George Norrie, all those guys, but they were too far into woo-woo land for me. They never talked about anything serious. So it sounds like the best way to deal with you would be ignore you.
Yes, that we got a lot of, my first website was called Infowarts.com, like WARTS, and the tagline said, you know, a mental condition from getting mind-fucked your whole life. And it was kind of a comedic play on Infowars.
Right. Oh, you added that, the T? Warts? Okay.
Yeah, Infowarts. And that got a lot of attention from the Infowars crowd in a bad way. I figured out they were shills in like 2008.
Wow.
They just went ham on me for, you know, and I was essentially, you know, mimicry is the best form of trying to do basically a comedic, lighthearted version of what Alex Jones was doing with a funny name that, you know, made sense and sounded like his, but yeah, he didn't like it at all. We'll say that.
Unless you get accidental traffic.
Oh, and that's what he accused me of, is trying to steal traffic from people that didn't spell InfoWars right. And I was like, no, bro, InfoWars. Fucking hilarious. It's like, you know.
Did he actually confront you? Did you actually talk to him?
Through email, yes. He never said booty in real life.
And is that because you were offering real truths and he's dancing around it all day long?
Correct. When right. Judy Wood came on the scene.
Oh, yeah.
I know. But there were a lot of anomalies. You know, that Thermate and Thermite didn't cover it all. And I'm not, like, Judy was right, and she's wrong, too. But there was something else there. And, yeah, I figured out Alex Jones wouldn't talk about free energy, electromagnetic vehicles, and Judy Wood because of those same implications. Like, he was, you know, pro-NASA, et cetera. But, yeah, it was about 2008. He really came after me. It started with Judy Wood, but I think a lot of the free energy stuff associated with a website similar to his also bothered him for whatever Texas oil reason.
Now, what is? Did you ever see September Clues or Clues Forum for 9/11?
Yes, I've seen September Clues. I hadn't got on the Clues Forum. It's been a long time. Like I said, I was a no-planer from the get-go. Judy Wood was about, and this is also weird, I knew her because she's from Kansas City originally, and it may speak to her, let's say, their connection, but she got a hold of me well before her book came out, just because in all of my 9/11 research, she was posting pictures, and her website had a collection of anomalies that Thermite didn't explain years before her book came out, years before she was doing interviews.
Right.
And I brought it up one day on the show. Yeah, and she called me. And we had a 20-hour phone call, like in 2007. And, yeah, it was the beginning of, she helped me see, you know, the gatekeepers, let's call it. Because I thought, you know, David Icke and Alex Jones, like, once you're anti-establishment, you know, you're good with me. It took me a little bit to figure out, you know, the limited hangout part. And any time I disagreed with some of your mainstay truthers, you know, I just figured it was, you know, difference of opinions or whatever.
Right. But what's your conclusion on her?
Oscillating frequencies and directed energy weapons are real. I do think they played a role in some of the concrete specification and beam extraction. But yeah, she was a gatekeeper also because she is of the mindset that, you know, absolutely no demolition would be needed, that all the pops and squibs and that kind of thing were just, you know, pressurized tanks being dustified themselves, that, you know, there would be, listen, and I'm in commercial construction, that she may have a whole bunch of degrees in all kinds of physics and interferometry and stuff, but I've helped assemble and disassemble skyscrapers, and Thermate wouldn't do it, shape charges wouldn't do it, directed energy weapons wouldn't do it, but a combination of all of them would get you the results we saw, and at the speeds we saw, that no floors, you know, the buildings being mostly empty, I think she was a little bit of a gatekeeper for all of her free energy component talk. You know, the fact that those were atmospheric electricity mass, I think she didn't want to broach for some reason.
And, you know, those floors being empty also explained a lot of why the debris piles were so small, as well as the desiccation. But
do you think we saw real video of their destruction?
Entirely no. I've never been to New York City myself. I do have to go with the buildings were there, and now they're not. So I believe
yeah.
they did take them in. I've recently had somebody hit me with a theory about them lowering them like ballers and dismantling them underground. And that's where my commercial construction and the skyscraper field comes in. And these things are bolted to bedrock. I'm not saying it's impossible.
I am.
But demolishing them would be way easier.
Do you ever watch the videos from CDI's YouTube channel where they implode buildings in just beautiful artistic form? They are just works of art, how they do it. You ever watch
yeah.
their channel? Yeah. So
yeah,
it is possible. We don't do it in Canada. I just watched a hotel come down because hotels are pretty much empty here and they're getting rid of the old ones. I watched one come down in Canada. We don't blow stuff up here. We take it. We knock it down piece by piece, which seems crazy compared to the way that CDI can implode a whole building in about 10 seconds. And I watch all their videos, so I don't see why, if you're in commercial construction, why you would need anything magical to implode a building into its footprint, because CDI shows it. They do it all the time.
Oh, absolutely. And I think directed energy weapons is the big spooky name for oscillating frequencies. The cladding up the towers themselves were pitched tuning forks, and it would assist, a lot of times demolitions don't work. You know, you could explode all of the joints and load bearing, everything, and they still won't fall just because of settling and friction welding, and there's a
Oh, yeah,
I've
seen a lot of the failures, too. I don't know if CDI puts any of their failures up, if they have any. I'm sure they might have a few. But and some of the other country demolitions don't go so well. I've seen a few of those, too. I guess they're real. But CDIs are just a work of art. And if you believe, like I do, that they spent at least 8 years wiring up the World Trade Center, after they pretty much evacuated in 1993 after the phony bombing basement, they could have put enough explosives in there to blow out every rivet and every screw you can think of. They had tons of time and unlimited money. So I personally
I think they were constructed to come down.
That too.
They were built to come down. So they probably did it in the way they constructed them.
I agree with that.
There was a report that came out last year. These big, round, like, I don't know, they weigh a shit ton, like tube things or whatever that they can hang from a balloon and drop them. They're like massive, not even a bomb, but they're able to penetrate through buildings and bunkers and everything else or whatever. And what if they use one of those? They're called rods from God, by the way.
Oh, I think we heard about that.
Yeah.
I think IPS was talking about that with regard to the Chinese so-called booster rockets or whatever component coming back down to Earth. Yeah. I think IPS was talking about that, wasn't he?
Yeah, but we were talking about that last year because this report came out or whatever, and it's like they're big rods or whatever, and they drop them and they...
Jan Erik's explanation combined with my explanation. They were built to be destroyed. They were definitely
yes.
props. They were props.
Oh, definitely.
And
they put them up in 2 years, just to tell you something. They were not constructed to house any people at all.
Right.
It took 2 years to build a 400-meter tall building. That's not normal if you put in floor every fucking... hollow, really. They started building in 69 and they were finished in 71 or 72. Building a building like this takes many years. It's done way too quickly. No construction.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I was just going to add,
We've seen like an opera singer shatter a wine glass. Directed energy weapons are just oscillating frequencies. Not that complicated. And I think we're employed just to make sure it all came down because they couldn't, like I said, you could friction weld, you know, stuff together just from settling and wind vibrations and as big as those things were. I think the directed energy weapons were oscillating frequencies to make sure it all fell after the squibs went. You know, not the face lasers or the main, even the main part of it. But there's evidence that, you know, that was used in conjunction with squibs, thermite, and, you know, just standard fucking TNT. That's the other thing. Buildings
I go with
big.
TNT.
Yeah, they're fused to the bedrock. Like, you don't have just a standard foundation. These things go down all the way to the bedrock. And some of those big booms that I think are real, you had to knock that thing off its foundation, which is no small task. That's where I disagree with Judy Wood, because I build skyscrapers. You can't shake those things loose, man. You gotta do the big bombs down there to get those fuckers off.
Literally, they were 6 floors underground, so they were quite deep as well.
Right. The bathtub kept the Hudson River out, etc. Yeah, well, I think we agree for the most part then. What did you think of September Clues? Simon Shack, yeah. He basically says the media, it was a media event. The whole thing was just a movie that was 100% media complicity. And there was a Great American Psy Opera that was done to cause a little bit of extra confusion with September Clues after that. Did you watch either of those? Well, you said you watched September Clues.
Yeah, and I'm taking it back in my, because I also, and I think I've heard you mention this, once I get to a certain point, it's hard for me to just keep going over and over and over it. You know, it's been a while since I've fully exhausted myself on all the intricacies of 9/11. I'm sure there were no planes. I'm sure the buildings were controlled demoed. It had fuck all to do with Al-Qaeda and the media across the board. And that's what, like, my radio show friends that are sure space isn't fake, because then why wouldn't Russia tell on us, you know, if we're faking all this other and I'm like, why didn't Russia tell on us about 9/11? You know, I think 1776 was when the cement dried on, you know, what we call the New World Order. Like, it's not coming. It's been here. And we're just, you know, finally putting all these pieces together. But I do remember watching September Clues. I was fully on board. You know, I don't remember the particulars of it, but it's not a subject I've really fully investigated much, you know, in the last decade, because I was a no-planer, fuck-em-all kind of guy, you know, real early on.
Right. Did you see Ace Baker's Great American Psy Opera?
Yes, Ace Baker is a treat. I've never met him in real life. I know him and Judy Wood kind of did their thing together, but it's been a hot minute since I've seen that one, too. Refresh me on, because I remember the controversy mostly versus anything he actually said.
Yeah, well, their main thing, it was a little more polished than September Clues. And his main thrust was they used CGI overlays, insertions into live footage on 9/11. In other words, they risked the chance that they'd screw up, but he says they actually inserted planes into a live video. Where, as I would say, September Clues or Clues Form basically say that no, they would never risk any of that. That everything was produced way in advance, like a movie, as a movie, and shown in just shown on the day of as if it was real, and put the word live in the corner to make it seem real.
This is Waterman Chris.
Nadir Lissette.
I'm Rolex.
Uninstall Media.
Zach Cover.
Von Tassel.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
I haven't been able to confirm this or anything because I don't know any New Yorkers. So, but my theory is that they did not see any of the footage when it was happening. They heard about it after the fact. And that's why they didn't come out in droves and try to film it. And, you know, it was a closed movie set, basically.
I agree.
So are you familiar with the footage that Rolo was referring to the other day in the call? He said something about seeing a new video of the second plane crash, and it's like a block or two away from the, you know, from the towers. He said that it looked real to him. I wasn't really sure which video he was referring to.
Yeah, I think I put it on FakoTube.com. I did. It came out last year where they said, oh, we just found footage. I think it's, I can't remember what I said about it, but I did put it on Fakeologist. I don't, unfortunately, there were problems with that too, and I can't even remember what I said, but I did post on it.
Yeah, those videos came out of nowhere, and it looks like, I mean, somebody sitting on video like that, it would have came out years ago.
You got it.
It just caught my attention because Rollo said that it looked real to him, so.
Well, Rollo thinks Trump is real, so I think we can end
no,
that.
No, he doesn't. He's,
he absolutely
doesn't
does.
He's real.
He sure does.
Really? He's not trolling?
No, 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 he believes that. So.
I thought he was just joking. Like, he just, you know, because I appreciate
no,
him as an actor.
No, Rollo's not joking. Sorry to say.
Because I can appreciate him just, you know, like, he can be funny at some times, you know? Like, I can appreciate
no,
that over what Biden's
serious.
Doing right now. Wow. Okay. Alrighty.
Yeah.
How can he be serious as a psychologist?
Well, we allow a couple fans that don't really aren't serious.
I mean, he's like one of the biggest fakeologists around here, right? Yeah, how can he can't possibly think that Trump is a real.
He's one of the
more. Well, he's been around.
On the audio
he's been around a while. He's been around a while, so that's what I meant mostly. And he's one of your biggest fans. He doesn't have a bad word to say about you. So.
That's probably the only reason we keep him on.
Yeah.
My vanity.
That's funny. That's funny.
Hey, I'm a human. I got weakness.
Alrighty.
About y'all, but if it wasn't for the last 4 years, we'd be in a different place. So, I mean, you could hate the man, or you could think he's part of the plan, but I'm pretty sure,
Say that again?
I said, if Hillary was in office, we'd be in a real different place right now.
What do you think? We'll find the others. What do you think is the end game with coronavirus hoax? First, with what we're in now.
You know, that's a good question. It's hard to guess the motivation of psychos, maybe non-humans. You know, more of the same. I resonate a lot with the infinite plane crowd because I think there's at least bare minimum one extra continent they're not telling us about. Probably a whole shitload of land. The globe and even the modern flat earth AE ice wall dome structure globe 2.0 is what I call it. It's the same shit, different, tabletop. But I think the end game with all of these is to keep us in our container. Now I'm going to get a little metaphysical. But I call Earth a realm. I don't think it's a geometric shape, nor is it done for me. And Neil Adams did an excellent illustration of, like a lot of people are familiar with South America and Africa fitting perfectly together. Well, all the other continents do too. And it's not just, South Africa and South America and Africa that split apart. If you take the globe, and Neil Adams did a pretty good, and you shrink it all down at a perfect ratio, like all the continents line up. I don't think Earth is a globe. That same concept would work kind of like a flower blooming or opening up, in a non-globular cosmology. But all that's to say, I think there's plenty more places to go. I think Earth is not done forming. Like, there's a fracticality to all kinds of stuff. You can see in nature where there's long periods of stasis and then rapid change, and then long periods of stasis and then rapid change. You're awake most of the day. You're asleep most of the night. Falling asleep and waking up are a blink of an eye compared to the rest of the stasis. And it's a radical change from conception to in utero. Long periods of stasis, from in utero to being birthed, rapid change in a very small amount of time compared to the 9 months previous or the 80 years after the fact. So you know, when you look fractally at a lot of these things, I don't think the Earth is done growing. I think a lot of the setup is about keeping us in our little playpen, because if the Earth does grow again along the fractal lines, let's say if everything changes, time's different, you know, borders are different, there's more or less land. I think they know approximately, because like nobody, the Mayan calendar, you know, is a series of nested cycles. Nobody's pregnant exactly 9 months. You know, it could be a few days, a few weeks, here or there, off. My thing's beeping. Did I cut out? Sorry.
No, I'm here. That's interesting. I like that. That's very interesting.
I got a question for you, though. I agree with you that I think the Earth is not complete in formation, and we'll never know what that form is. I agree with that. But do you think that our interaction with it, our emotions, our hatred, our, you know, all that stuff interacts with how it forms?
Yes and no. I think it's probably symbiotic. And like I was saying with, that's in the practicality terms of it. So when Earth expands, other things, I don't think it's any coincidence that the weather is getting crazy and the quote-unquote awakening, however you want to term it, like all of these things are coinciding. And
yeah, but I don't see the weather getting crazy, but that's just me. I've observed it my whole life because I was out in nature my whole life, so I don't see that.
Okay, I have, because I've seen it in September 2000 was the perfect example, 2001. We had a tornado in December, which in my 40 years, that has never happened. And we had a tornado in December, and then it got to 48 degrees, and it started hailing in August. Two Aprils ago, I saw it go from snow to 100 degrees inside of 3 weeks. The weather changed.
I've seen that in my lifetime several times. There was a tornado here in another little town back in the, think it might have been the late 70s, I think. And it tore down the town, and it was winter. So that stuff does happen. It depends on what the air temperature is and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know how weather exactly works.
But I think the green tornadoes in the winter are extremely rare.
Yeah. But yeah. I think the Earth itself goes through changes, and that's its COVID, basically. Getting rid of what it needs to survive. And sometimes it's not pretty. I mean, I think that's the way Earth works, in my opinion.
Well, for sure. And like Terrence McKenna had a saying about, you know, the birthing process. There's a lot of rending of tissue and blood and weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, it's a violent, nasty process, but it births, you know, this beautiful human.
It works.
Yes, and that's the way the Earth works. It's a nasty, disruptive, I mean, sometimes horrific thing that it does, but then it brings forth life. So, I mean, I see it working the same way.
But with the weather, I think the biggest change is the media. Now, all of a sudden, we know every weather story in every corner of the Earth. That's the biggest change. Now we know everything about the weather.
Yeah, but in my
area, I never heard about. Yeah.
No. In my area, the news here is ridiculous because it could be going to possibly rain, and they'll turn it into, we might get this big weather storm. We don't know when it's going to hit, and it's going to come together
everywhere,
possibly cause tornadoes, and we get
exactly
nothing.
But exactly.
Fear porn.
Exactly. But that's how they sell their. We never had a weather channel before, but how do you fill a weather channel? Well, now you know. You talk about the entire, every possibility every day and rerun all the bad stories. We've just had a massive amplification in the weather, but you're right. It hasn't changed. It's no worse.
Right, and I think these kids growing up right now, if they're watching this stuff, it's like they're not considering the fact that weather always happened. Just like they're not considering that climate change always happened because the Earth changes to protect itself or whatever it does. They are so brainwashed into the MSM or whatever, they're never going to see that now. Like, we were given the opportunity to, at least when I was growing up, I could go out in nature, I could watch the sky, I could do all this stuff, and then compare it to today with the, you know, the plane, trails, whatever you want to call them. I don't care what it is. But, I mean, with what they've done to imply that the Earth is, it hates humans and it's going to kill us all. I mean, that's a big drastic change.
No, and I think life's a continuum. But all, the point of the entire cosmos is life. And could it get gnarly for some people in some very imbalanced areas? Absolutely. But MRSA is the result of trying to kill all bacteria. You know what I mean? Like, add up all of the eugenicist wet dreams, all the climate change, all the vaccines, all the GMO food, all the wars, all the, add it all together. And I disagree with their number, but there's more people here now than ever. I think life is inextinguishable and the point of all this. And their hubris will be their downfall. And so, you know, scaring us all and trying to get us to kill ourselves and each other may be part of this plan, but they can't kill everybody. I think they know that. So to keep us terrified at each other's throats and in one little pin, in the long and short of it, is their end game. Because I think when, I'm not sure, probably World War II and the submarines definitely helped. I think they found at least one more continent and or knew about it and got there themselves. But just like every good, decent human fled Europe after they discovered America, if any of that has a ring of truth, they would probably fear something similar in this mass exodus. And everybody wouldn't have to leave for things to change. Just the threat of, you know, enough people not wanting to play this fucking game and going to risk the ice of Antarctica or whatever. You know, that, yeah, I think the end game for all this shit is to keep us terrified at each other's throat and not going anywhere.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think Operation High Jump back in the day was when they probably found out how big the Earth really was and that it was flat. And then they had to do their NASA thing or whatever in 1972, come out with the only supposed real picture of Earth, the blue, which is also fake. That's the only one they claim is real.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what does the top of every giant mountain peak have in common? Like, what they pass off as Antarctica just looks like really high altitude to me. And if you're up that high, you can go, like, to me, what they're claiming is Antarctica seems like a really big fucking mountain that a lot of it's frozen, but you could get down the other side of it. Just like, you know, the Arctic
or
is
in between
cold,
it. Yeah, or in between it, but they'll never show us. And see, this is the problem I have, because the flat earthers, per se. Who's talking? But anyway, the flat earthers or whatever, they'll say there's a ice ring all the way around, but they've proven that Antarctica doesn't have a 24-hour sun. And they're saying the sun goes around flat plane. Then they're saying Antarctica doesn't have a 24-hour sun. It's like, that's not even feasible for that theory, in my opinion. It would go around the ice ring. You know what I mean? It would be there. 24
sure.
hours.
But
so,
I think that was the reason for the whole Apollo missions, was to basically convince everyone that, you know, we're on a ball, basically.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, and in the 1950s, they started making all the globes and putting them in classrooms, all that stuff.
Right.
And they were stripping together or gluing strips of long, straight pieces of picture or whatever onto a globe. So that tells you how that came up. Like, why would you need, if you went up and seen the Earth, why would you need to put flat strips on a globe? You'd already have the picture.
Right. So, and at this stage of the game, they should be able to put some cameras up there on the moon for a live stream. What they're telling us is true.
Right, but they never do that, and they never will. They can't.
Right.
I honestly think, I said this the other day to somebody here, that if everything gets smaller from the sky, well, from the tree levels or the mountain levels, all that stuff, to the grass and the bugs in it and beneath it, and the oceans, the smaller, the farther you go down in the ocean, the life is smaller and smaller. So I'm thinking, well, flip that to the sky, and I think that might be how the sky works. It gets smaller and smaller as you go higher and higher. So you're never going to find the planets. You're never going to find the be able to land on the moon. You're not going to do any of that stuff. That's just my theory.
So do you think the moon is a physical object?
No. I think it's something celestial. I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't
think I like to think of the sun and the moon kind of like a rainbow, right? Like a rainbow, you can see it, but it's not a physical thing.
Something like that. They just have more detail.
Yeah. Right. But I feel like maybe it's just me getting older, but the sun feels like it's like more intense now than it was a few years ago.
You are correct about that. I feel the same thing. The thing is, the end game is, you're all missing it. We're in a place in the galaxy where we're being hit by particles. And it starts to get a little bit more hectic around this time. The ancients knew that. So do the lovely elite. And, of course, they got to keep our mind focused on everything else because they don't want us to know about that. So that's the inevitable thing that's going to change the climate for real via ice age. And, yeah. So have to get control of humanity before that happens.
That's all, folks.